Hey everybody, Sunny here. I wanted to hop on before you hear today's episode and explain to you what's going on behind the scenes before you hear my interview with today's guest. So let me tell you what's been going on in my mind and in my life since October 7th. I have not stopped thinking of what happened that day, not for 1 hour of one day, nor have I stopped thinking about the death and the destruction that has happened since then. On any given day, I am listening to podcasts about this. I am seeking out and reading news stories. I am keeping up with quote unquote news influencers on both sides. I should say multiple sides of this issue. I guess the question you're asking is why? Why, Sunny, do you keep coming back to this issue and putting it on your feed? Why does this white Italian-American girl care so much about what's happening in the Middle East? And the answer to that is very simple. I think what is happening right there is bigger than just this decades, centuries, millennia old conflict between two groups of people. I personally believe we are in the midst of an existential fight for the preservation of democracy. And if we ignore what's happening there, we risk losing the very rights that grant me the ability to have these conversations, these awkward, very imperfect, but still very necessary conversations. So here's what I'm asking for you. As I navigate all of the information surrounding this issue, my own personal feelings and impulses, and talk about things that might be out of my league in some instances, but I'm working to learn more on, I need your grace. I need your patience. I always joke that I like to have people on the podcast who can answer what I call quote unquote stupid questions. And by that, I mean basic questions that people who are not directly involved in any given issue will inevitably have. So here's my thought behind that. People can't care about an issue until they understand it. And we can't understand it without patient people willing to answer these questions. So to the two guests that I've already hosted on this podcast, and I will include the links to those specific episodes and show notes, I want to say a huge thank you. You know who you are. This was a Jewish American woman and a Palestinian American woman. And I encourage you to go back and listen to those two episodes. I am trying my best to keep this issue top of mind for the reason that I told you just a couple of seconds ago. I believe it's emblematic of a real shift in the American mindset that I'm trying to understand and digest. And the way that this is resolved will set the stage for how conflict is resolved and essentially who is in charge for generations to come. So something that'll impact my kids, your kids, people for years and years to come. So I want you to know that I am working behind the scenes furiously to host conversations on this that bring up the nuance that I think is so necessary to hear. Now, I have black and white thoughts on some of these topics that are related to this issue. I'm sure you do too. What I am asking from you, in addition to that grace, is to be patient with me as I try to bring people onto the platform who can patiently answer those questions and help us understand on a more human level what's happening. If you're one of those people, by the way, who can offer a different perspective, I welcome you to reach out to me. And I would love to host a conversation with you on the podcast, potentially. So in this episode, you are going to hear me discuss with today's guest her specific thoughts and her experience on what's been going on in her life as an American woman since October 7th. As I always say in these episodes, I'm not here to change your mind. I know what I believe on this issue. You probably do too. The best I can hope for is that these conversations will continue to open your mind and your heart to nuance that you might not have acknowledged before hearing some of these personal stories. Today's guest is amazing, and I can't wait for you to hear more. I'll see you guys on the flip side of the episode. Enjoy. One day, shortly after October 7th, Caroline DeMore, former DJ, socialites, like there are pictures of this girl with Paris Hilton all over the internet, current business owner and mother, decided she was going to post an Instagram reel about it. The idea behind the video was simple, the language casual. Her bright pink hair caught the LA sun as she asked, tearfully from her own home, why weren't more people condemning this act of terror? And why were people suddenly targeting her Jewish friends? In that moment, Jewish people everywhere saw this Italian-American girl standing up for them when so many others were finding ways to justify the October 7th attacks. They were grateful, of course. Others pilloried her. The attacks came pouring in right alongside the comments of support. But Caroline kept posting. That video, by the way, climbed to 6 million views in just one day, just to show you how viral it went and how quickly it went viral. Now, 5+ months after the October 7th attacks, Caroline is still standing in support of the Israeli and Jewish communities. But before you peg her as someone without a heart for the other side, you have to hear what she's saying. I knew I had to talk to Caroline the moment I saw that video for a couple of reasons. First, it takes guts to speak out unapologetically about where you stand on this issue. And second, because she's saying really common sense things. Things like release the hostages, condemn acts of terror, help to bring an end to the suffering and deaths of innocent Israelis and Palestinians alike. In this episode, I ask Caroline why it was so natural for her to defend the Jewish community, how she would talk to a Palestinian or a Palestinian American about what's happening, and why she really hasn't had the opportunity to do so just yet. And most importantly, why it matters to stand up for what you believe in. This conversation represents some of the work I've been doing in private since October 7th, reading, educating myself, seeking out multiple perspectives, and most of all, promising myself to not forget what happened that day. Now, my conversation on accidental activism with Caroline DeMore. So, Caroline, thank you so much for joining me. We have overcome many technical difficulties to get to this moment, so thank you.
Yes, I'm technically challenged, so.
No, you're not. And me trying to guide you, it's like the blind leading the blind. I was like, try clicking this button. None of it worked, of course, but here we are today. And I like that we kind of ended up pushing this back. We have the benefit of some more things to talk about, too, things that have happened politically speaking, in the news and in the world and in your personal life. So I think this was meant to be that we're catching up at this point. I really want to get into your business and sort of the personal accomplishments that you have achieved along the way. And we'll definitely cover Pizza Girl, you know, the activism you're modeling for your daughter, all of that stuff coming up a little bit later. But I think I want to start off, Caroline, with that post that day. October 7th happens. I'm scrolling on my phone and I see this gorgeous girl with pink hair. And I only came to put it together that like you have been in the news, but like I've been a celebrity news follower for a while. And I'm like, this girl's really pretty. She looks familiar. Didn't put two and two together that I've probably seen you, you know, in gossip pages of years past. But anyhow, I come across your post. And I think for people who haven't seen that, I would like you to describe what it is you said, when about you said it,
yeah,
and what's been happening since then.
I mean, the date I forget, it was like maybe like a week after October 7th, or maybe a few days. We can go back and confirm, but I just remember, obviously growing up in LA, I have a lot of Jewish friends, and I've never once thought about anti-Semitism. I always honestly thought it was an understandable passed down PTSD from Holocaust survivors that like wanted to instill in their children, like this is possible because they went through it, understandably so. But I had never seen it. You know, I've been obviously like, I've been blessed to not have to really deal with being hated for just being born or the color of my skin or my sexual orientation. So I always felt very protective and also very empowered to just like stand up to any sort of bully forever. Like since I was a kid on the playground, you know, and I think a lot of that stems from I've been doing a lot of like people keep asking me like how I became this person and I've been doing a lot of work to figure it out and I'll get back to the post, but I do believe it stems from my mother's death. She died when I was 5 years old of the AIDS virus. And actually I was not told the truth about how she died. And I found out in a really kind of sad way when I was much older, when I was about 19 years old. I wasn't told the truth because at the time AIDS had such a stigma wrapped around it. And my dad just really didn't want us to be like, you know, the AIDS kids at school. And like, while I was very mad at him when I found out, I understand why, you know, I understand his reasoning, for kind of lying to us, but I always kind of knew something was kids know, you know, like, you know, you feel it in your heart, you know, something's weird. But then anyway, I got super like empowered to stand up and do things involving the AIDS community. And my sisters and I would walk in the AIDS walk every year, and we'd wear like shirts that had my mom's picture on it, and it like brought us together, and it was really beautiful. And obviously, you know, the AIDS, epidemic really, it really affects the gay community. So every time we were walking alongside so many people from the gay community, including my sister who's gay. And I started looking from like the corner of my eye, and I started seeing people on the sidelines that were holding up really hateful signs. Basically saying that these people were going to go to hell and like spewing hate at them. I even remember seeing a little kid one day with his family holding up like a really hateful sign. And that just showed me right there that you can teach kids hate. A lot of that correlates with what I think is happening right now in the world. And I just remember being so angry. I'm like, these people are suffering. They have a disease, or someone they love died from this disease or is suffering. And you came here to spew hate at them while they're suffering. So I think after October 7th, you know, a lot of people in my life would just post something like, my cousin just died at the Nova Festival. Isn't this devastating? Or my friends are in Israel hiding in bomb shelters, or my friends were hiding in bomb shelters in Israel, you know, like, and they would just post about that, not about whose land, who was right, this, that, whatever. And then they were like, just attacked, like you say, like, and I was just like, I couldn't believe it. I just could not believe it. And one day I just was so fed up. I assumed the whole world would think like me, you know. I've always stood up for, you know, and walked for BLM and trans rights and gay rights and everything. And then the moment I do it for the Jewish community, that is a minority group, being 0.2% of the entire population, I just was so angry. I went to my backyard right here, and I just was like, and I had wet hair. I looked like crap. Thank you for saying I looked pretty. I was just like, hey guys, I'm seeing this happening to Jewish people. It's only happening to Jewish people. It's on the rise very rapidly, and it's very scary. Like, stop. This is insane, right? And I put my phone away. I went to a concert that night, and I looked at my phone later, and I was like, oh my God, why is there 30,000 views on this one post, like very quickly, like just a couple hours later? And then the next day, over 6 million views. And I was like, what? I was scared for a few days. I was like, I was so confused. You know, I was like, I didn't think I was doing anything controversial. I didn't think I was doing anything that was not just completely normal. Mm-hmm. And I was like, am I in trouble? Like, yeah. What just happened? And then the influx of course I got a lot of hate, but then the influx of emotional moms, including my neighbor who knocked on my door crying in my arms, literally. That is what really showed me that what happened was there's nobody else speaking up for the Jewish community. And I was like, well, this is obviously something that I've been geared up for my whole life. Right. I've never cared about what people thought about me. I've never cared about going against the cool kids or whatever is cool. Truly, like, when I feel impassioned with something, there's literally no telling me no. And I'm going to do everything I can, research, like, just to find out the truth. And I'm not going to let anybody just like put me in a category. So yeah, it was really all the moms that kind of kept me going. And then even like, I kid you not, like, now we know, like, I've been traveling the world, speaking to schools, doing all of these different things. Finding out from kids what they're going through at college campuses, like, and going to Israel more, you know, twice now. And I know what I know. Mm. And there's nobody that can tell me any differently. And in the beginning, a lot of certain friends of mine reached out to me, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, the only thing we should be saying is ceasefire now, you know, like this and that. And I was like, I'm going to check into this a little bit more. And when I tried to explain to them, you know, my side, or like, mm-hmm. I even said like, hey, like, my boyfriend lost some friends, like, mm-hmm. you know, people lost some friends, like, and they would just block me, and yeah. they would never respond to that part.
I
You
think
know?
what has been so hard to, social media forces us into this sort of false binary when it comes to especially really nuanced topics. And I know I've had this conversation with people in my personal life too. You can mourn the loss of life in Palestine and what specifically what's been happening. You can mourn in Gaza, you can mourn that and feel for that, but you can also have an understanding or your own informed understanding based on your experience and your events of what is right and wrong. And I said this in a previous episode, like terrorism is just wrong. Like,
it's just wrong, and it's not resistance.
It's sad that innocent people are caught up, and it's really sad.
It's so sad, but even as of today, and more people are going to keep seeing the people of Gaza. Now that Hamas is being dismantled, they're starting to speak up. The hold on them. I know that there are innocent, very many innocent people in Palestine that are suffering, but they are suffering at the hands of their government, of Hamas, right? So, and we're going to start seeing more and more and more. And even today, I just posted, I think I just posted, or Mansoor, follow him. He posts a lot of, and translates what they're saying. They're literally saying down with Hamas. So it's coming. It's coming. Yeah.
Do you believe, and to kind of bring everybody up to speed, Caroline has been, you've been traveling, like you said, you have documented trips you've taken to Israel. You have shared interviews you've done with people on the ground there and how it's changed you personally. And I always say on this show, like, people don't come here to get their minds changed, but people do come here to hear perspectives. And I would love for you to share some of the more momentous or impactful conversations or experiences you had there, because in certain circles, Israel has become synonymous with bad. Like, I'm down with the Zionists and all of this really incendiary language online. So I would love for you to share the experience you had, especially as an American too, because we're all becoming educated on the nuance of this conflict, like in a really rapid motion form over the past 6 months, when in reality, this conflict has existed for millennia, for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was very curious, like, I couldn't believe how many people were like kind of okay with the kidnapping of people because they were at one point or another, they were soldiers in the IDF. And I'm thinking, but wait a minute, every single person that turns 18 years old in Israel has to be a soldier. So now you're saying, and that is because of the immediate threat right across the border. I mean, what other country in the world has a bomb shelter in every single home on every single corner? An Iron Dome, everything that they have had to do to protect themselves from terrorists that literally want to come in. It's not just this, right? It's like, I can't even tell you how many stories I've heard of people going through, being at the mall and a suicide bomber, kills 20 people. This has been going on for forever, right? So they have had to build up a very strong army and protective, and protection. Like, come on, why can't anybody see that? That's so obvious, right? And then, I go there and I was really curious about meeting, these so-called, IDF monsters, right? So I spent time and I went to the Lebanese border. I went to the Syrian border. I was with the Golani. I was with, a lot of female soldiers and just talking to them. It's like, I remember talking to this one girl, Maya, at one of the kibbutzim that I went to visit. I think it was Barry. And I remember saying to her, I was like, you should be partying right now. I was like, you should be making mistakes and and she's like, I know. She's like, but I can't. She's like, this is my life. And like, that is also very sad. And why is nobody giving these people the sympathy that they deserve trying to survive? Do you know what I'm saying? So even her, like, we had an incredible conversation. I bawled. There's a video of me walking out of one of the completely destroyed kibbutz, and I am just bawling my eyes out, right? Because, yes, at first it's a little awkward. You're walking through and you're getting this tour of, like, destruction and sadness. But then I would ask to stay. I stayed in one of the apartments by myself for a minute, and I just let, the walls talk to me. And I'm getting the chills even thinking about it right now. Because at first, I heard the joy and the laughter that probably occurred in that home. And then I heard the absolute terror of what happened. Bullet holes, like, this big. The bloody sweater on the floor. The Kit Kat bars. The things that were just... It was overwhelmingly just so awful. I walked out of there and I just bawled my eyes out. And I was like, you guys never get to tell me anything bad about these people ever again, because what they've been through and the fact that they're still so kind and loving, they could have chosen hate. The people of Israel could have chosen to, you know, rally the Jewish people to march down the streets and light things on fire and spray paint things everywhere, because it's easier sometimes just to be hateful than it is to unite and be loving. And they choose not to. Is anyone giving them credit for that? You know, right. Maya said to me, I was like, why would you live this close to the border? Right. Like, I can literally see the border right there, 500 feet away. And she goes, we live this close because we want to show them we love them. We want to show them we love them. We're not scared of them, and that we want to live in peace. And I was like, wow. And I just bawled.
Yeah. I mean, I do recall watching that video too. You were really on your stories too. So I remember just sort of keeping up and watching from the ground what it must have been like. I'm curious. Oh gosh, there's so many questions I have for you, Caroline. Mm. I'm curious if you've heard from any Palestinian American, either former friends, current friends, who said, you know, who used it as an opportunity to have a conversation with you about their culture and their life and their side. I want to put that in air quotes of the issue, because yeah. I know there are many facets to this. Yeah. And how you responded to that. Because I do know you've been getting a ton of deserved support and if anything, have been sort of an educational platform in some ways. But what if the other side came to you and said, Caroline, I want to bring you to Gaza, or I'm Palestinian American, let me explain. Have you had those conversations?
So I honestly wish that I would have more of those conversations. And I've said many, many times, I said, I will go to Gaza. I will go to Palestine as soon as it's safe and I can go and I can help whatever I can do, rebuild schools, maybe help in some way, you know, I don't know, whatever I can do to help them have a better future. I so want to do that. I so want to. So it's just about it being safe, honestly, at a certain point to be able to go and help. But I've had a couple conversations. I had one with somebody who's very much so in the spotlight. She reached out to me in the beginning and was like, very angry. What are you doing? What are you doing? And all I said was, you know, isn't this so devastating? You know, my boyfriend lost some friends, you know, and pointed out a really sad story. And then she just blocked me. So it's almost like some people are not willing to have that conversation. But then my other friend who I did a music video with, she's Palestinian. We were very, very close, you know, close. We shot a music video here at my dad's house. We did put out a record together. She was very upset about my stance too. And then she explained to me, you know, she called me one day, we had a nice, nice talk. And she was like, you know, she really wanted me to stand down. She really wanted me to stop, because she was like, and she explained, she was like, her grandmother was one of the people that was displaced in the 40s, you know, and they do have their own story. I am listening to the other side. And I completely agree that there needs to be some sort of two-state solution at some point where everybody can live in peace. The only problem is that there's people who have been taught to martyr themselves. There are children who are holding knives saying that they want to stab a Jewish person. So that's the only problem. Like, if we can somehow solve that problem, everybody can find a way to live in peace. Do you know what I'm saying? But like, when I get to that part, people overlook it and then they just don't want to have the conversation anymore. Even the other day on Instagram, this guy was like, I'm willing to have a conversation with you. I go, okay, are you willing to show your face and go live with me so we can help educate other people? And then they just disappear. So I'm putting it out there. If there is somebody who's kind, who doesn't want to attack me, who wants to have a healthy conversation, that can help people understand both sides, I am so for it. So please, you heard it here first.
Yeah.
I'm ready. I just don't want to go on Piers Morgan and like cuss people out and like all of that. That's not going to help.
Right.
It's not helping.
I think you're coming at it from the same angle that I am, which is how I'm trying to cover this on my podcast, which has been such a challenge, because to host conversations on this topic, you by virtue of entering the discussion have to have a working knowledge of something. Right. And so when you get that education, it's going to come from one side or the other. So it's going to inevitably color. So like, I don't feel, and this is exactly what I've been doing, Caroline. I'm like privately reaching out to people. And I have a Palestinian American friend. She's become sort of like an internet friend of mine. And she's willing to go there with me. I'm like, you have to answer really stupid questions because this is how I see it. And this is how I feel. And I want to understand. I see terror and I see anti-Semitism and I see hate and I see people unwilling to engage. So it's been a challenge. I feel like I'm doing the same thing in my private life that you are, which is I'm literally desperate. And I'm hoping that these conversations that I'm having on both sides, and I have a Jewish American friend too, that I'm like, hey, I just listened to this podcast where I wrote down, like, I'm such a nerd. I wrote down some questions, some really valid points, I think, from the other side. Could you just like hear them out for me? And she's like, sure. And I think I worry that while there is, as Sam Harris called it on his podcast recently, a bright moral line, and this is a great episode, I'll link it in show notes. He discusses exactly what you mentioned, which is the complicating factor of jihadism in this discussion. It's not, you know, it's when you're dealing with a group of terrorists who do not value life the same way that the other side would, it complicates the issue because in wars past, inevitably, both sides wanted to survive and wanted to
correct.
And so he has this really interesting explanation of how the moral argument is confounded because the baseline is different. It's going for the anyway. All of this to say, it has made me think about this in a way that is non-binary, really. And while it's really interesting, it just continues to sort of complicate it in my mind because it forces you to just turn over and turn over events. That being said, I want to ask you. While there are some very clear rights and wrongs, at least in my opinion, I don't want to speak for you. How do you view this issue now that you've been in the mix, educating yourself, speaking and reaching out when able to both sides? Do you view this as a one side versus the other side, or are you starting to view this now in a more multifaceted way?
Yeah, you know, I definitely see a lot of different sides to all of it. I think if we go down the road of like indigenous to land, then like, listen, then America, then my home is at risk. Like everybody's is. And I do believe that at a certain point, like a war is fought, land is, it's awful the way it happens. It's, you know, it's part of the world's history of how people claimed land and this and that, you know? So I don't have those answers. I just know that people who were then born in a certain place and raised in a certain place can't be attacked and tortured and treated like crap because they love the home that they grew up in. Do you know what I'm saying? So it is. It's very, very complicated. I think that the only way is a two-state solution and that everybody joins forces against people who believe in death over life. And that's the only way that everything – I know in my heart. I hate when people say like all Palestinians or all Jewish people, like none of that is going to work ever. You're never going to wipe away Israel and Jewish people, and you're never going to get rid of, you know, of Palestinians. So like, we have to figure out a way to work together. Mm-hmm. And I think hateful people enjoy this time because they like to hide amongst people who really care about a movement. Just to spew their hate. Like I noticed it even in the BLM movement, like, you know, my daughter and I are out there, we're making signs, we're out there with our friends, we're supporting our friends. And then there was people that like decided to join the marches and then destroy my family restaurant. You know what I mean? Like these people are not here for the cause.
Right.
I would love to just continue to talk to people who are truly here for the cause and want to find a solution. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw the 47-minute video. I know what I know. And I think I would love maybe even to talk to your friend and ask how do they really think that we can, how are we supposed to deal with that fear and that danger?
Yeah, the problem I feel like that I had in engaging in some conversations was that sometimes there was just not even a recognition of October 7th. It was like, yeah, but you know, they 1948 and the Nakba. I'm like, I agree that that's a big bad thing, but like, can we pause for the babies?
Yeah.
Can we, you know? And I think what's been happening on social media is that each side has felt, or I guess when you come at it from the other perspective too, this was a stain on human, like the existence. This is a horrible situation, October 7th.
Yeah.
But they, you know, the other side might get upset saying, well, you're not recognizing that tens of thousands or how many ever children or innocent people have been killed. Like, we have to pause. It's so funny. It's just like raising a kid. When they fall and they get hurt, if you just try to say, it's fine, be quiet, you need to pause in that moment and acknowledge the feeling. And I just, it's really frustrating when on social media, it's just an immediate, well, what about? Okay, let's pause. Let's recognize the brutal devastation on both sides. Yeah. And then there's not been much of that. And it immediately will turn a person off and force them to do what it sounds like people that followed you did, hit block or hit unfollow rather than continue to engage. And it's just really disappointing. It's like not the world I want for my kids.
Yeah, it's really disappointing, especially seeing like all the hate. Like this kid I just posted today, he is, you know, proud Israeli guy, and he does this weird thing that's clearly under our age of understanding, but like mine anyway. But it's like you click in and see different people, and they always see like his Israeli flag or whatever behind him. And these hateful kids say the most foul, awful things. And it just really scares me for the future that this is being like allowed and taught in America, in Canada, all over the world, that it's okay to hate on Jewish people. And I think that's why, I think a lot of people say like, well, why are you so, you know, fiercely standing up for this? And I said, because it's really bad. You know what I mean? Like, I don't see it happening the other way as bad. You know, everybody's standing up for the Palestinians, which I think is amazing, as they should, but not by being hateful to other people. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, there's a couple of us standing up against anti-Semitism. And I think that's important. We need people to step up and speak about it. Otherwise, I don't know it's a very scary thought, you know?
It is, absolutely. And there should be no shame in acknowledging the pain of that community. And I don't know why it's become verboten in some way. It's like, I can't believe it's, and I have my theories, but it actually leads me into the next question. I heard you in another interview say, you know, before the backlash I received recently, I considered myself a woke liberal. I think a lot of people look now very differently at how they self-identify politically since October 7th, because we used to automatically group the rights of certain, you know, groups under the umbrella of one political party. And now it's all different. Can you tell me where you stand politically and where your home is now after seeing not only people react differently to October 7th, but various political and world leaders?
I actually, for the first time, don't know how I'm going to vote. Honestly, like I am not by any means a Trumper. I've always been very against a lot of things he does and stands for. I feel very lost for the first time, I think, politically, because it is so crazy to me that I do a lot. Like when my dad used to use the word woke, I was like, yeah, I'm awake. You know what I mean? Like no big deal. Like, but now I see that it's almost like it's almost like so far gone of like, because it shouldn't lead to hate and it shouldn't lead to being allowed to hate, you know, because to me, being a liberal was always about like equal rights for everyone, you know, loving your neighbor, you know, supporting people, you know, working on, you know, the homelessness epidemic here in California and like, trying to help people. That's really, and like, you know, gay rights and women's rights. But, now it's very different. I feel like it's changing. And I don't know where I stand, honestly, politically. I really just want some new options. I really want new options. I want female options. I do believe that, you know, we need more female energy taking control just from things I've seen. And I just, I don't know. I think right now, I think Biden is just, unfortunately, just much too old for what's happening, you know, to be able to handle it. I think that Donald Trump is Donald Trump, and I don't want that for our country either. You know what I mean? So I'm like in, you know, some of my friends now that I'm talking to, I'm talking about the middle, right? Like there's got to be a place for the middle. And I'm clearly in the middle now. And I was talking to my girlfriend, Mal. You know, she's a Jewish trans woman who I'm going to go live with very soon, because now she's so confused and lost. She's like, now not only am I getting hate for being trans, but now I'm getting hate for being Jewish from my own community. Like, it's just she and that, like, there's like all these different lanes now that are just being, that are very confused about where they kind of stand, you know?
Yeah. It's so, it's such a strange time. Like, I think like you and like a lot of people, I did very like strongly identify as liberal for a while. And I think you echo a trend that's sort of happening, especially among our age group, anywhere from 30 to 50 right now, where people feel politically homeless. There are very few people that can check the box of every issue that the progressive left stands for right now. Yeah. Even the term progressive has gotten to indicate a very, very far left on the spectrum, whereas before it was kind of middle left. And I share your confusion. I wish I had any answer. All good third party candidates, please write in. I mean,
yeah, it's crazy. Like, that post is still going viral, which is weird. Yeah, it's so weird. Like, sometimes like an old post will all of a sudden continue to pick up steam again. And I'm like, how is this happening? But that post is like angering so many people. It's really funny. Yeah. Or they're on my side. It's just still, yeah. Sure. Every day somebody's commenting on that post, which is really,
yeah,
it shows you that people are very confused.
I called it accidental activism, I think, when I first reached out. Did you expect that this would kick off a portion of or a chapter of your life that was defined by everything but, and not that your business doesn't weave in, but pretty much everything in addition to what you were doing already?
Yeah, I mean, it was, it's like I just had to listen to the universe. Obviously, like, I was built for this. It's something that, I don't know. When I did a live very early on in this whole situation with Rabbi Steve Leader, not that I ever think that I would be doing lives with rabbis, you know? Mm-hmm. So he said to me, he said, there's only two people in his entire life that made him feel the way that I did, you know? And I was just like, whoa, like, clearly, like, you know, even 2 days ago, I'm doing a demo at Erewhon with my pasta sauce, and this, you know, incredible husband and wife come in. The husband burst into tears in my arms.
Oh my gosh.
Burst into tears. Like, and I just hugged him, and his wife was just like, oh my God. And I just like kept hugging him. And it was just like, if I can make one person feel a little more seen and safe, then I'm just going to keep doing that, because that's why I'm here on this planet. And I'd rather know that I stood for something that mattered to people than kind of just fell in line to be liked by everybody. You know, I've never been liked by everybody. People either love me or they hate me. I'm used to it.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah. Oh, God. Well, can you share some advice then for people who have felt tentative but want to share their opinion? And on top of that, if they're not as strong as you are or not as assured in their how to go about it, what would you say to them?
Absolutely. I've been working with kids on this too, teen, you know, like college kids and everything. And I think that it's similar. It's going to sound very like floofy LA, but it's similar to like, you know, positive affirmations or talking good to yourself, which I was actually just talking to my daughter about the other day. You know, like when you look at your Instagram, right, you're going to have 3 hateful messages and probably 50 positive messages, right? Like, but mm-hmm. Our brains are wired to like obsess over the hateful messages. I completely ignore those and I go straight to the love and I converse with the people that are, you know, getting something out of it, feeling positive and wanting to give me something positive back. So it's really helpful just to like give your attention to that person, talk to that person, like, you know, see how they're feeling. If it's also on social media, if it's somebody who's not willing to show their face, I always say this, like all the hateful people, they never show their face. They have a fake account. They're either like a paid bot or whatever, or they just use like a, you know, burner account with like a cat emoji, you know, a cat cartoon as their face. Those are the people I never give any time of day to. And you know what's funny is they move on. They want somebody to give them a reaction. So if you ignore them, they just get bored. I've even seen people commenting to other people like, no luck on this page. Like they're all da 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 da. Oh, this page is awful. They all are just like on, they're all drinking the Kool-Aid. Like, and then they leave, right. You know? And it's crazy. Like I interviewed this girl, Lee Sassy, who's from Sherman Oaks, who was in Israel at the time and had the most awful, awful stuff happened to her at the Nova Festival. And she's a survivor and she's incredible. And she, you can see that on my page. She came to me afterwards and said, wow, she's like, the people on your page are so loving. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I've never had that before, you know, cause she was on CNN and different things and people just attacked her. But I've really like focused on my energy in such a positive way that people can't really hate on me that much. And I think that's a lesson to everybody. Like, don't be so focused on proving your point. Just continue to be kind and show kindness. And it really upsets people to the point where they leave your page.
love wins in the end, right?
Love wins. It really does. As cheesy as it sounds, it really does. I'm the proof. I'm like a 4 or 5 month case study of somebody who's been doing it and it hasn't affected me negatively. It's only made my life better, more empowered, stronger. You know, more people have learned about my business. More people have learned about, you know, me, like you, you know what I mean? So it's like just how you, how you look at it, really.
And what of those friends who have turned away, friends who maybe don't feel like they align with you completely and just kind of remove themselves from the chat, so to speak. How do you feel about that?
Well, one, I don't need to speak to ever again anyway, because she's been super hateful to a lot of Jewish people. So that's fine. But one, I do hope that our friendship rekindles again. And I have like, I still follow her. I like her posts. I totally understand where she's coming from. Seeing so many people dying at the hand, you know, in war is I can't, it's awful. You know, it's the worst thing we've all gone through in my entire life, you know, besides 9/11, anything that I've seen, this is the most, intense. And of course there's so many different, sides to it, but I hope that, eventually we can all see each other's sides and just try to build bridges, you know, rather than walls. Yeah.
You recently came out on Instagram with a personal update to your life, a new special person. And I asked permission to ask you this on the interview, but can you tell us about your new boyfriend?
Yeah. So the funny thing is that, you know, we had kind of just started, we started talking and started kind of dating right before October 7th. But you know, he also says, all the time. He says, you as a non-Jew have made me speak up and empowered me and so many other of his friends to like speak up, you know? So it's like, it's a really beautiful thing. It obviously brought us a lot closer. Like we had just met on Hinge. Like it's definitely it's not something that I would have, you know, given my whole life for within like a few weeks of, you know, like I know now husbands and wives who are divorcing over this. Can you believe that?
I mean, so I can, I really can. I've seen this play out in really strange ways, but sadly I can.
I can't believe it. So now when I go places, people walk up to me and they talk to me about what they've been going through and I appreciate it. So I'm saying anybody never feel scared to talk to me, totally fine. But this beautiful, beautiful woman came up to me and she was like, I can't believe how my life has changed since October 7th. And I was like, tell me about it. How has it changed? She goes, I'm getting a divorce. And I go, what? She's gorgeous. She's got these cute little babies running around. She's got two little kids. And she goes, yeah, my husband is, you know, South African. And I was very impassioned going to, some of these, you know, hostage, events where you like in LA, a lot of the hostage families come out to try to spread awareness on their family members. And she went to a couple of these events and she came home very impassioned for her community. And he like, didn't want to hear it. And like, now they're getting a divorce.
Oh my God. That actually breaks my heart.
Breaks my heart.
But that's the whole thing. And Caroline, I worked in news and I've covered every contentious issue you can imagine, from abortion rights to Second Amendment to religious and spiritual issues, philosophical differences. And there has been nothing that I have ever covered that has inspired such intense emotion. and not just the common, oh, let's like disagree, but like agree to disagree and remain like broken relationships, broken. I had someone say to me, you know, I'm still going to follow you, but I'm really disappointed that you, you know, spoke up for the hostages. I'm like, okay.
It's like,
you don't have to follow. Like if you, that's okay. But I mean, all of that to say, I've never seen anything create such an impassioned reaction. So while I'm disappointed to hear that, somehow I'm not surprised.
Wow. I was really, really surprised, but I will say like, you know, and that, and I'm sure of it that the entire situation has brought Omer and I closer and, you know, made us fall in love definitely, in a super beautiful way, that probably wouldn't have happened as fast and as like, emotionally like charged, I think, mm-hmm. without, you know, 'cause sometimes these things, they, like I said, they can bring you close or they can tear you apart. And I think, you know, we definitely just got very, very close throughout the whole thing, and have empowered each other. He is Israeli. Yeah. He moved mm-hmm. to America when he was 14 though. So yeah, he is Israeli. He hadn't been back. He went back to Israel because of me. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so, gosh. You know, he hadn't been back in like a decade. So, or 8 years, something like that. But obviously, you know, means the world to him. And he really is doing a lot now for the whole Jewish community with Shabbat Surf Club. And, you know, we've just inspired each other to like do so much. And it's the most beautiful thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And yeah, I mean, we just moved in together. You know, we have three little girls between us. And, you know, that we're raising here, and you know, it's wild. So I don't know. I think a lot of times in dark times, some really beautiful things can come out of it. I'm not going to stand for anybody, you know, being cruel, to him or his kids or anybody, in Israel that I've met, just because they were born there. Like, absolutely not, you know? So you never know.
I'm happy you found that. What a wild story to tell at your wedding someday. Not that
I know. hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, that's amazing. Okay, I have to ask you before we wrap, Caroline. I'm a fellow Italian American girl. I can tell a good sauce, as you say, a gravy from a mile away. I have not yet tried Pizza Girl, but you have this thriving business. I know. I'm going to track it down. I'm in Florida. I'm in a different part of the country, but I want you to tell everybody a little bit about the product that you make, and you're making good Italian American food more accessible to everyone, which I'm here for.
Yes. So my company, Pizza Girl, it started as an all organic pasta sauce company with no added sugars, no preservatives. Coincidentally, it is OU certified. It was so funny when I was sitting and I was getting all my like certifications, like, you know, organic and non-GMO and this and that. They go, what about kosher? And I was like, well, I don't want to exclude anybody. So if it can be, that'd be great. So it is. Not saying that every product I ever do will be, because that's, you know, intense, but you know, they were easy to do that way. And they are just the best tasting pasta sauces you will ever have out of a jar. Hands down, it's my grandmother's recipes. And I was just appalled by all the jarred sauces when I tried them, because I was fortunate enough to have homemade all the time growing up. And then I tried them and I was like, ew, what is this tinny jarred aftertaste and all these preservatives and all of this garbage in there, bad oils and so much sodium and so much added sugar. So I made the very best pasta sauces you could ever have, out of a jar. And I'm very proud of them. I started with $5,000, a trademark, and I walked into Erewhon with not even proper labels. And she took a spoon out of it and took a bite there and gave me all the Erewhons on the spot. And I was like, oh my God, I have to make sauce. So I literally have just put this thing together one brick at a time, one tomato at a time. And now I'm in 2,500 supermarkets. I have incredible partners. We are, you know, expanding the line. We're going to be launching a new sauce very soon. We also have an incredible direct consumer business. So for someone like you who can't get it locally, you can get it at pizzagirl.com. We also have these incredible pizza ovens that I just launched that are the Pizza Girl Pizza Grill. And literally, they're perfect for anyone who doesn't want the big pizza making mess and have to go in their backyard with propane, this and that, and spend thousands of dollars. This is a $158 oven. It is cute. It is pink. It's going to come in all these different colors down the road. And literally, you just plug it in and you can have it on your counter because it's beautiful, or you can put it away and it makes pizza just like my dad's restaurant. So stay tuned. Lots of incredible Pizza Girl products coming your way.
I love it. Or do you get back to Italy often, or do you have family there?
No, but actually, yeah, I do have family there. We have, you know, but I'm planning a trip to go back very soon, because we're going to be getting some more kind of products and ingredients and stuff like that. So stay tuned, and you guys will be able to join me on that journey as well.
I love it. Caroline, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today and share a little bit of your heart and your story and your business. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. Glad this worked out.
Thank you so much for listening to this latest episode of We Gotta Talk. If you don't mind, I would love if you could leave a rating and review. Those help this show to get out to people who might find it useful or entertaining. I'm so grateful for your support. Please follow on Instagram at Sunny Abatta, or check out our latest blog post at wegottatalk.com/blog. See you next time.